The following story takes place between the years 1138 and 1268. The first John Stellan to sit on the throne of Germany was Conrad III, son of Frederick I of Swabia and Agnes of Balingen, sister of Henry V. His reign was not very important either, but there are several things we should know for the moves that would happen later. Conrad possessed the territories of Franconia and Swabia, while the most powerful Duke Henry X, the proud son-in-law of Otharius and belonging to the Welf dynasty, controlled both Saxony and Bavaria. A law was created so that the same duke could not have more than one territory, and Saxony was confiscated to put Albert I of Brandenburg, or Albert Hellasis, the first relevant member of the House of Ascania or Anhalt, who would be important in the future. When Henry protested, Conrad took away his remaining duchy, Bavaria, to give it to Leopold IV of Baburg or Leopold of Austria. This would be the trigger for the rivalry between the Huelfs and the Gibbons. After years of civil war, Henry managed to recover Saxony, and his son Henry the Lion would inherit it and would become a real pain in the ass for the Johannisoffs. In 1147, the king went to the Holy Land to participate in the Second Crusade and died shortly after his return after several clashes with Henry the Lion. Anyway, if we talk about the Johannisoffs, we have to talk about two monarchs who gave everything for the empire. Two Fredericks. Frederick I Red Barbara and Frederick II. Let's start with the first one. Red Barbara's parents were Frederick the One-Eyed of the Johannisoffs, Duke of Swabia, and the Welf Judith of Bavaria. Therefore, she was a cousin of Henry the Lion. Come on, he was the heir of the two most powerful rival families of the Holy Roman Empire. It is clear that the idea was to put someone capable of calming the conflict between the two houses. He was elected King of the Romans in 1152 at the age of 30 and was crowned Emperor in Rome 3 years later by Pope Adrian IV. Frederick had already made it very clear that his idea was to reinforce his imperial power in Italy, and the pontiff's conditions were basically, do not make deals with Byzantium and help us conquer the Norman kingdom of Sicily. The day of the coronation was plagued by protests between Romans and German troops. His cousin, the powerful Duke of Saxony, Henry the Lion, of the Welfs, voted for him, and in exchange Redbeard ceded Bavaria to him, territory that had belonged to his father. There he founded the city of Munich, which would eventually become the capital of the territory, but his favorite place was Saxony and especially Brunswick, where he ordered the construction of the Palace of Dang Barterode and a church next to it. Of course, this screwed up the Babenbergs, led by Henry Jasimir Gott, but to compensate, Redbeard elevated his Margraviate or March of Austria to the category of duchy, which would be the origin of Austria as a separate territory. He even elevated the Duke of Bohemia, Ladislaus II, related to the Babenbergs, to the King of Bohemia in 1158. On the other hand, he ceded the Marquisate of Tuscany to his uncle Hulf V, and he was also Duke of Spoleto. In 1156, Frederick I married Beatrice of Burgundy, a child, but she was heir to the Kingdom of Arles, which gave him considerable power. On the other hand, for Albert Alonso, he created the Margraviate of Brandenburg, and this greatly favored the colonization of lands in the east, Pomerania and all that, still inhabited by pagan Slavic tribes. After that, he dedicated himself to restructuring the entire administration of the cursed empire, which was sorely needed. As I have already said, the Germanic Empire was not a centralized state, but was composed of counties, duchies, margraviates, and ecclesiastical lordships. Landgraviates also appeared, such as Thuringia and Gessen, governed by a nobleman of count dignity. While the King of the Romans acted as an arbitrator and could only count on his private resources, these local leaders restricted his power of government. The ecclesiastical electors, the so-called archbishop counts, were those of Cologne, Trier, and Mainz. The secular electors, that is, the dukes, seemed to have been those of Swabia, Chonia, Bavaria, and Franconia. Although Franconia had already been disintegrated by this time, Bohemia may also have been electors. The truth is that no one knows for sure. There is a huge amount of confusion about this matter. Of course, around 1250, it seems that the secular electors were Chonia, Bohemia, Brandenburg, and the Palatinate of the Ring. We will see this when I talk about the Golden Bull. At the time, these seven guys were the ones who had the power to elect the new King of the Romans. In time, they would be collectively called Prince Electors. Once they had crowned the king, he could go to Rome to be crowned emperor, which not all of them did. Many cities emerged thanks to trade, and a wealthy bourgeoisie began to have more and more control over them. This was particularly common in Italy, where there had been cities since Roman times. Many of these free Italian cities were governed by an assembly and an annual council led by consuls. Throughout the Holy Empire, we can find free imperial cities such as Aquisgrán Gran or Hamburg, which although administered by the local bourgeoisie depended directly on the emperor, or free non-imperial cities, that is, autonomous and with more rights such as Worms, Mainz or Strasbourg. The administration at this time was still quite simple. The hawks, meetings of the dukes and lords with the emperor to discuss problems, complaints and such crap, took place more or less regularly. This formalized what is known as the Artak or Imperial Diet, an assembly of all the important nobles of the kingdom. The section opens, everyone is talking.
In 1158, Barbar Roja entered Italy with her imperial troops with the aim of subduing rebellious Milan and reorganizing the whole of northern Italy. At the University of Bologna, the emperor assembled a commission of legal experts to draft the laws of Roncaia. The emperor was to respect municipal institutions, but they were to have a superior appointed by him, the Archchancellor, in addition to other laws that curtailed feudal power and reinforced his authority as emperor. Amidst all this tension, Pope Adrian IV failed and a schism occurred between those who supported Alexander I of the Italian party and Victor IV of the Imperial party. In the following years, Barbar Rojas continued to conquer Italy by force, facing a league of Lombard cities. This league was made up of soldiers from 30 cities such as Milan, Bologna, Piacenza, Verona, Venice, Parma, Padua, and Genoa. After intense battles and a complicated siege, Milan was destroyed in 1162 and its citizens deported. And on top of that, they took the reliquary with the bones of the supposed three wise men that ended up in Cologne. Rome fell in 1167 and Pope Alexander I had to flee in disguise to Norman territory. At the Diet of Borsburg, Barbarossa declared himself heir to the Roman and Carolingian Caesars, whose supreme goal now was the Dominium Mundi, world domination under the cross of Christ. However, his project in Italy failed. An epidemic affected his troops and that had good and bad points. On the one hand, a large part of his troops died.
That's bad.
But on the other hand, several important nobles died and he was able to keep his fiefs. That's
good, but he lost to the Lombard League. That's bad. I can go. He
also took the opportunity to crown his son Henry VI as King of the Romans in 1169. Barbarossa spent 6 years in Germany and in the meantime in Italy Pope Alexander I was reinforcing his power, as were the Lombard cities that were already rebuilding both Milan and their league. The guy got so carried away that he even had a city built in his name, Alexandria. At this point, two parties were formed in Italy. The Ghibni were supporters of the Johannisophan and the imperial power of the nobility and feudal system, while the Welf were defenders of the papal power, the bourgeoisie and urban freedoms. Of course, for the time being Rome was controlled by the antipope Calixtus Iero, a friend of the emperor. In 1174, Red Barbarossa returned to Italy for the fifth time. Her humiliating defeat in the Battle of Lennox in 1176 against the Lombard cities, the so-called communes, seems to have been caused by the refusal of her cousin Henry Leo to send her reinforcements. He said it was because he was busy in Chonia fighting pagan tribes and such, but there were also a few of those petty quarrels. Among them, Leo wanted the silver mines of Gosler, but the emperor refused. With the Peace of Venice in 1167, Red Barbarossa recognized Alexander I as the legitimate pope and stopped implementing the program of Roncaia. On the other hand, the emperor gained great negotiating and arbitration power with the Lombard cities. With the Peace of Constance in 1183, the Lombard League and its cities passed into the hands of the emperor, but with a certain autonomy to elect consuls and such. There was a fair amount of peace and these cities in northern Italy began to flourish like never before. During this period of agreements, his son Henry VI married Constanza, aunt of William II, King of Sicily, who had no children. And Barbara Red hoped that he would not have any, since upon his death all the Norman territory would go to her son, as would eventually happen. But let's return to Germany. The fact that he did not send her troops made Red Barb an enemy of her cousin, the Welf Henry of Leon. There was a trial and all of her fiefs were taken away, and in 1180 Chonia was divided into several duchies. East Saxony went to Bernhard of Anhalt of the Scanian dynasty, and West Saxony was merged with the Archbishopric of Cologne to form the Duchy of Westphaler. Bavaria went to Otto von Bietelsbach and Lübeck became a free imperial city. Henry the Lion's son, William of Winchester, was able to keep some lands in Lineburg and Brunswick, which would later form a duchy. Redbeard could have kept his fiefs, thus reinforcing his imperial power, but he did not. He ceded them to imperial princes because he knew that without their support he would not be able to govern comfortably. As with Charlemagne, it was very complicated to centralize such a vast territory. Furthermore, this Germanic empire did not have clear borders like its neighbors, nor a fixed and stable capital, such as Paris, Rome, or London. Nor did it have an official residence, although it is true that the king was very fond of the Kyffhausen fortress located in Thuringia. In 1189, Frederick Barbarossa set out on the Third Crusade with Philip Augustus of France and Richard the Lionheart, King of England. The German, who was almost 70 years old, was eager to fight Saladin, who had conquered Acre, Beirut, and even Jerusalem. But Frederick would not return home. The Battle of Iconium in 1190 would be his last. It is said that on his way to the Holy Land through Anatolia, he fell from his horse and drowned at the bottom of a river under the weight of his armor. And so ended the life of Frederick Barbarossa. Henry VI ruled alone for only 7 years. As Redbeard had planned, it was through the marriage of his son to Constance of Sicily that he was able to claim his right to the throne. After eliminating the resistance of William I, the Norman Kingdom of Sicily became part of the Holy Roman Empire. On the other hand, the dispossessed Henry the Lion began to cause trouble in Saxony as usual, winning over many nobles to his side. Even Richard the Lionheart, who was returning from the Third Crusade, joined his cause. Along the way, the English king was captured in Vienna by Leopold V of Austria, and a lot of money had to be paid to have him released.
I don't give a damn. In 1197, Henry VI took off and went to the other side. And his wife Constance, shortly after. Their little son Frederick Seggi remained under the guardianship of Pope Innocent III in Palermo, one of the largest cities in Italy located on the island of Sicily. The boy hoped to be able to reign when he came of age, while two pretenders fought for the throne, his uncle Philip of Swabia and Otto IV of Brunswick, the son of Henry the Lion. Welfs versus Gypsies again. After almost 20 years of anarchy, fighting and many upheavals, the French saved Germany's ass. Otto Var was defeated by King Philip Augustus at the Battle of Bouben in 1214, becoming the first and last Welf emperor. After that, Frederick II was finally able to reign. Frederick II, grandson of Barbara Rott and Roger I of Sicily, ascended to the German throne in 1212 and was crowned Holy Roman Emperor in 1220 with the promise to Innocent I III to forgive the papal debt, help the Latin Empire of Constantinople, and embark on a new crusade. This emperor spent almost his entire life in the Kingdom of Sicily, where he had grown up, a place with a good climate where Christian Germanic, Muslim, and Byzantine cultures converged, all very multicultural. During the first part of his reign, he dedicated himself to pacifying and organizing this territory that was quite full of chaos and fighting. His idea was to create an authoritarian monarchy without feudalism and war against both the dissident nobles and the Muslim marauders whose attacks terrified the population. In 1224, he founded the University of Naples, which is now called the University of Federico II, in his honor, and he promoted the prestigious medical school of Salerno, where rigorous exams were required to become a doctor. He wrote many books such as a treatise on falconry and also poems and some philosophical works. My uncle must have been very intelligent, he even came to speak 9 languages. Furthermore, it was there, in Apulia, that he built the Castel del Monte, a peculiar octagonal castle. His first wife was Constance of Aragon, daughter of the King of Aragon Alfonso II, but she died. His new wife was going to be Yolanda of Jerusalem, but in order to marry her he had to go to the Holy Land to participate in the Fifth Crusade, something that Pope Honorius III was trying to get in his way of, but Frederick II postponed it. In the end, in 1225, the two were married in Brindisi, an Italian port city, and were proclaimed kings of Jerusalem. Even then, Frederick II could not bring himself to go on a crusade and ended up earning himself an excommunication. Under pressure from everyone, Frederick Seggi ended up participating in the Sixth Crusade in 1228. He took Cyprus and then signed a truce with Sultan Ayyub al-Kamil, Saladin's nephew, with whom he ended up forming quite a good friendship. Without fighting, only with diplomacy, he returned Jerusalem, Nazareth, and Bethlehem. Pretty cool, right? Well, no. Pope Gregory Novo excommunicated him again for having gone there without his permission. The Pope, supported by the Emperor's son Henry II of Swabia and the Lombard League, planned to invade the Kingdom of Sicily. Fide returned to Italy in a huff and puff, and after a whirlwind of hostilities, the Peace of San Germano was agreed in 1230. He took advantage of the calm to draft the Alexa Augustalis or Constitutions of Melfi, a single law for the entire Kingdom of Italy, centralized monarchy, efficient administration. The gold Augustales were minted, and he reformed agriculture with the Messeri system. He promoted irrigation, introduced the cultivation of cotton, palm trees, and sugar. Science was given a boost. In fact, Fibonacci was at his court. He unified weights and measures, created a stable tax, the annual collection, promoted trade and the rise of the bourgeois classes, and much more. Meanwhile, in Germany, expansion towards the east was gaining strength in the context of the Baltic Crusades. The Teutonic Order, which settled in Pomerania and Latvia, was important here. The order was created by German knights in Acre during the Third Crusade. After the failure of that campaign, its members moved to the region of Transylvania and there they built Bran Castle, which centuries later would be the residence of the Prince of Balachi, the Blade of the Impaler, popularly known as Dracula. Get lost, vampire. The Hungarians of Andrew II expelled them from there, then they returned to the Holy Land and later ended up being recruited for the so-called Crusades in the Baltic. In addition, in Livonia, which is now Latvia, the Order of the Liban Brothers of the Sword was founded, which had a conflict with Valdemar II of Denmark, something I already mentioned in the videos on Scandinavia. An important tribe would be the Prussians, who ended up subjugated by the Teutons around the year 1270 and Germanized by the Ionians. Centuries later, Prussia would become a very powerful kingdom. Frederick II earned himself a new excommunication in 1239 for his struggles against the Lombard League. Here begins the knife fight to the death between these two powers, and it would not end well for either. The accession to the papal throne of Innocent I complicated things a lot and ended up excommunicating the entire Johannisophan family. New kings were elected for Germany, first the Elgrave of Thuringia, Henry Raspe, and then William of Holland, but they did not control a thing. The last years of the emperor's life were full of fights, conspiracies, and of particular note was the great victory of Frederick Seggi in Parma in 1248 against the papal troops. However, the guy ended up losing unexpectedly 2 years later. The Stauffens family was repudiated, persecuted by the Pope, and would soon lose Italy and also Germany. Frederick II's son with Yolanda of Jerusalem, Conrad IV, saw how the empire seemed to fall apart after his father's death. He fought for power against William of Holland and ended up losing in 1254 and William shortly after. Given the situation, four of the seven readers elected Richard of Cornwall, of the British Plantalines family, as the new king of the Romans, while the rest supported Alfonso X the Wise, king of Castile. None of them spent much time in Germany and there was quite a power vacuum. In the meantime, the Kingdom of Sicily continued to be in the hands of Manfred, Io of Sicily, son of Frederick II. However, in 1266, Pope Urban IV handed the kingdom over to Charles Danu, brother of the King of France, St. Louis, and he was named head of the Welf party. During the Battle of the Field of Roses or Benevento, Ananu defeated Manfred and took control of the territory, being crowned King of Sicily. The Gibbon party called on the son of Conrad IV and current Duke of Swabia, Conradin of Hohenzollern, a young man of 16. Many Sicilians joined him. However, after the Battle of Teocazzo or Circola in 1268, Conradin was taken prisoner and ended up being publicly beheaded in Naples by Charles Danu. Poor thing. Before dying, he ceded his rights to his cousin Constance, the wife of Peter of Aragon, who would claim Sicily shortly after. But with this execution, the reign of the Johannisophans ended and the Duchy of Swabia ended up disintegrating. The Holy Roman Empire would enter a spiral of decline from which it would take a long time to emerge. Remember that you can get more history into your veins with my book Empires and Swords, with all the most extensive information, with more civilizations, more battles, more anecdotes, hundreds of curiosities and told in small chapters arranged in chronological order. Thanks to everyone who shares the videos and also thanks to the Patreons who support this mega project of summarizing the entire history of humanity from beginning to end. See you in the next video.